I want you to take your Bibles this morning, and we're going to look very quickly at three scripture passages, but I'll read the first two of them a little later on, which is the one that I'm going to be dealing with the most today, but we'll look at some other ones too. But right now we want to start with Luke 17. And I'll read that one for you. This is a very familiar story. You've probably heard it all of your life in Sunday school or wherever. But it's a great story and one that ties in exactly with our season. Luke 17, it starts at verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a village. He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And they went and they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned his back praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole." Maybe the version here actually has the last word there, "Your faith has made you well." The same thought here, not only physical healing, but spiritually as well. You know, there's one thing in our life that sometimes we're in Holland, Michigan, and I've got a little grandson there who occasionally will let us take him out to eat. But you know, he's got a particular place that he likes to go. You have any idea where an 8-year-old boy would like to go to eat? McDonald's, of course. Yes, McDonald's. I learned some important facts about McDonald's recently. This is something that goes back in history all the way to 2006. That's 13 years ago. But this is what was happening in 2006 with McDonald's. At that time, they estimated that the average person in America, in the course of their lifetime, would eat over 1,800 times in their life at a McDonald's restaurant. Isn't that amazing? You think, man, oh man, they're really doing well. People like it that well? Well, kids do, you know. Kids are a lot of times directing the family many times. One other thing I found out about this, though. They also figured out that at 2006, they had 34 million meals sold every day in the world. 34 million. I think they have a lot to be thankful, don't you? As a business, they're doing quite well, and they continue to improve all the time. But I think there's something far more important that is talked about in the scriptures, and that is true thankfulness that we as Christians should show. The first thing that I read here today is from Psalm 107. You know, somebody has once said that repetition is the mother of learning, that the more things are repeated, the more you tend to remember them or keep them in your mind. Well, Psalm 107, in verses 8 and 15 and verse 31, all give us the same identical verse three times. Can you hear? No?
No.
Oh. It's a little scratchy. Oh, well, I realize that. Thank you. Well, I have this morning, but it's getting worse. I don't know. I think it's spreading. It came to Elsa first, and then it's come to me and... You know, but anyway. Anyway, the three verses, though, 8 and 15 and 31, all tell us about what? The fact that it says, Let them, or us, give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds to men. Now, it's a nice statement, but it's not just in the Bible once. It's in the Bible three times in one psalm. Why is that? Apparently, the Holy Spirit of God, when he inspired the writing of that psalm, realized that we needed to be reminded of this important lesson. And so we find that three different times it's talked about there. This is very nice, Marshall. I appreciate it. I just don't know where I'm going to put it right now. But anyway, we'll find a place. Anyway, three times in that one psalm, the error is repeated. And, you know, I think for good cause, because we all need to be reminded to be thankful and to praise the Lord for all that he has given us. There's another place in the scriptures that talks about thankfulness, and that is in the book of Colossians. I've preached on that at various times here, and we have seen even in this particular book that there are a number of verses that talk about thanksgiving, but we do not see them long verses or anything like that. They're not repetition. But in Psalm 107, we get three verses that are repeated. But in Colossians 3, verse 15, the Apostle Paul teaches us basically the same thing. He says, after telling his audience, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. He goes on and he says these words, and be thankful. It's not enough to just have peace in your heart, but to be thankful as well. You know, when you talk about peace ruling in your heart, Paul is using a word here that we use in the athletic metaphor. It's used of an umpire who regulates a game. And sometimes if there is a play that is made and they have to decide, sometimes they even send away to New York or whatever and try to get a camera feed on that and find out just what should be decided. But guess what? They umpire the game. Sometimes you like their call, sometimes you don't, but still they monitor the thing. Well, Paul says that we need to have peace monitoring our heart. That's an important thing. And it's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace. There it is, number three on the list. When the Bible says here, let peace rule in your heart, it means that the Holy Spirit of God is to control us even in the dark times, even when the hard times are there. We are still to let his peace regulate us and guide us along successfully. But we also find that right after this, he talks about being thankful. I think there's a reason why those two are back to back. You know, if you talk about a person who is really spirit-filled, someone who is really spirit-filled is somebody who is controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's not that you get more and more and more of the Holy Spirit. It means that he controls more and more of your life. And Christians who are spirit-filled are those who are being controlled by the Holy Spirit, even in the peace that is operating in their life. But right along with this, he says, and be thankful. Thankfulness is right alongside this same word. You want to look at what the Christian life is all about. It's all about being peaceful with the Spirit working in your heart, but it's also being thankful. Because when the Spirit leaves, we have reason to be thankful. God is always good. God always blesses us. We've seen this over our years here at Faith, and again and again and again, God continues to bless. And we appreciate all of that and have every reason to be thankful. But then we find a third scripture in the Bible that talks about thankfulness, and that's the one I read here this morning from Luke chapter 17. This is quite a story. It tells us about Jesus one day running into some unusual companions. There were 10 people that were all stationed right along the border of Galilee in the north and Samaria in the mid area of Palestine. They were right there on the border. Why was it that they had 3 Jews and 1 Samaritan? Well, they were all lepers. That's why. It wasn't because of the fact that they had any distinction between racial causes or anything like that, although we know that in history, in the Bible, we know that many times the Jews did not like the Samaritan people. But here they broke down the barrier between the Samaritans and the Jewish people, and they were all right there on the border. And they were all there because they were in a state of being lepers. Sad thing is, in the Bible, there was only one way that leprosy could be cured, and that was by God himself. And that's why if somebody had leprosy, what they were required to do by the law, back in Leviticus already, they were required to go to a priest if they thought they had been healed, and they were to show themselves that they were clean. If the priest agreed that they were cleansed from the disease, then they could get back into society again, like they always did. But if they didn't have any full sign of cleansing, they, of course, were continually finding themselves in an outside of society situation, gathered together with others of like mind in the same kind of situation. And it was not a very pleasant experience. What's the first thing we learn about this story? Number one, everybody here needed help. When Jesus came walking along with his disciples, what did these people do? They cried out for help. They said, "Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. We need help. Please give us something." Whether you realize it or not, everybody in this whole world needs the same thing. Maybe you don't have leprosy, but you still have the same basic sinful nature that all of us do. Every one of us needs help physically, and we also need help spiritually. And Jesus Christ is one who is there to hear us when we cry. Sometimes it seems like it gets very slow in coming. Sometimes it's very unimpressive at first. But you know what? Jesus Christ still cares about us. And even though these people were standing off far away from Jesus, they didn't want to get too close. But though they were far away, they called out for help from Jesus. And you know what? Even though there was a distance between them, Jesus heard them and he also healed them. Distance makes no difference. I want you to remember that, because when you cry out to God, even now in your life, you cry out to the Lord in prayer. He is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. We are still down here on earth yet. Sometimes we say, "I wonder if God hears me. I wonder when I pray if it makes any difference." But you know what? God does hear. Distance, the distance between earth here and heaven there, makes no difference. As far as we can see, that Jesus is still hearing and answering prayers, and he does it in his own time and in his own way. Well, let's notice a second thing. First of all, these were all people that needed help. Secondly, they also cried out for mercy. You know, that's something that we all need too. We all need God's mercy. We heard about mercy this morning in one of the readings this morning, and in the singing and everything. It's a good reminder that God is a God of mercy. He is not a God of who's sitting there with a hard attitude and looking down at us. He is someone who loves us and cares for us. Even people who are not saved, people who are yet unsaved, and people are in a condition where they don't know the Lord, they still need mercy, and the mercy of God is still upon him. The Bible says, "Call ye upon him while he is near." Do not realize he will not forsake his own. The scriptures repeatedly hold out hope. That's what we had as a candle this morning, the hope candle. That was a good one because of the fact that we know that only Jesus Christ can bring hope. Only one that he's the only one, rather, who can bring mercy to us when we need our help. And that's exactly what happened. He was not able to find himself in a situation with people that were looking for anything at this moment except physical healing. And yet he had mercy on them. He didn't know if anybody was going to come and be saved or if anyone would believe in him or not. There is a third thing, however, that makes a very important distinction too. Jesus not only heard them, Jesus not only heard their cry for mercy, which is something we all need to do, but he also healed them through the word of cleansing. You know, I want to tell you something today. We have the word of God's cleansing still with us today. Jesus is not walking around here in Alamo Township and bringing, you know, the same type of situation that he did when he was earthly on in this world. But we know that right now he still hears the cry for help and for mercy, and he also is able to cleanse people by the power of his word. The word of God is what cleanses people. The word of God is what saves people. If we do not believe the word, we have no hope. I want to tell you there is no other way in order to be cleansed spiritually or physically unless God does it. And unless we hear his word, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer you. Doesn't he tell us that? What do you think? Does he mean that or not? Well, of course he does. He cares about every one of us. And you see, when we cry out to him and believe him and have faith in him and accept his word, we find that he is able to be giving cleansing to people too. Now, nine of these people did what? When they heard the word from him, they believed. And that was good. But we don't know that they ever believed unto salvation or not. What they knew was that they needed to go and see the priest. They knew that that was the law. And so what did they do? They obeyed. That's what God wants us to do too. God wants us to live by faith. And he also wants us to obey him, to follow his commands. Sometimes his commands seem to be way beyond us, but they're not. God cares about every one of us. But not everyone who is calling out for God's help is calling out for salvation. There are a lot of people in the world today that just want what? They want all the important things of life. They want physical health. They want a nice home. They want to have money in the bank. They want to have all kinds of things. And those are the things that are considered important. Many, many people are pursuing them, looking for them. And yet the most important thing was that there was one man who saw beyond that. He didn't just want the physical blessings of this world. When we talked about McDonald's a few years ago, or a few centuries ago, 2006, what it was in that year, it was a time when, you know, a lot of people were thinking, oh, isn't this great? Look at this company, what it's doing and how it's going. And if you look at the news today and the stock reports, it's continuing to go up, 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 up. Well, that's fine. But you know what? That's not going to matter in the end. You know what? Jesus could have healed every one of these nine that went to the priest. He could have cleansed them. But you know what? They still could have died at some time in the future. Why is that? Because we are all going to die. That's just a fact of life. The wages of sin are what? Death. And we know that we're all going to come to that point in life. Some people will come early, some later in life, but it's all going to happen. But with the 10th man, the man who came and was thankful and expressed his worship and his thanksgiving to the Lord, that was the man that Jesus not only healed him physically and gave him an extended period of life here in this world, but it is the same person that Jesus also gave eternal life. Do you have eternal life today? Are you going to be with Jesus forever someday? It's the only thing that matters. I don't care how good of a life you have right now. I don't care how well off things may be in your life. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you come to the end of your life, what do you have in store for you? The Bible says that there is no hope then. It's only those who call upon the name of the Lord that will be saved. No one else. I don't care how noble a person might be, how respected they might be in society or whatever. They need the Lord. Jesus Christ is the only one who can save a sinner. He's the only one who can take us all to heaven. And you know what? A lot of people say, well, I don't know if that's true. You know, there's a lot of different religions in the world. How do you know yours is the right one? Well, I want to tell you something. There are a lot of religions in the world, but you know what? There's only one that offers salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. All the other religions of the world all are focused on what? Achievement, good works, what you can you do to get close to God, what can he do for you? All these different things. Look around at the world's religions and start taking account once. You'll find out there's only one religion in the world that teaches salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only one. And by the way, that's not only the only one, it's the only way. Either you believe it or you don't. But if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior and turn your life over to him, if you don't start letting, like Paul said in Colossians 3 here, letting the Spirit of God rule in your heart. Who is that Spirit? It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He wants to not only save you, he wants to come in and he wants to regulate and rule your life. And he is ready to do that. He will save you, the old song says. He will save you. Only trust him now. That's what we need to do. And you see, that's what this man did. This tenth man did something else here. The others received cleansing power of a physical nature. But it is very likely that this man also received spiritual cleansing too. And that's why it talks about, you know, your faith has made you well. Why is that? Was that just a physical healing that took place? I consulted numerous Bible translations and commentaries on it, and most of them pretty well agree that this is more than just the fact that there is a physical healing here. This is a spiritual dimension. It is a healing that stretches on for all eternity. And isn't that what you really want? A lot of people, they want to live a long time. They want to have a good life. But are you ready to meet the Lord now? You're not ready to meet the Lord now, you don't know when the last day will finally come. Could happen tomorrow. Could have happened today sometime. Who knows? It could happen 30 years from now, but whatever, it's going to come. And I'll tell you, the longer people wait to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the harder it gets. You know, when people, I've used this illustration before, but when you sit there and you exercise your arms every day, the muscles begin to grow a little bit. I've noticed that when I had a stroke, that I lost a lot of weight and I also lost a lot of muscle. But now, as time goes on and I'm able to do some more things, carry around that guitar, you know, and all these other things, what's happening? The muscles on my arm are starting to get harder again. That's what happens in life. The longer we live, if we do a lot of exercise, a lot of work with our hands or our arms or whatever, it becomes harder and harder and harder. We get physically stronger. But I don't care how physically strong you are or how hard your arms are, they're not going to take you into heaven. The only arms that can take you in are the everlasting arms, the arms of Jesus Christ, the one who has given his life for us, that we might truly be saved. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And that's what happened here. This man, number one of the ten, came to Jesus, and what did he do? He bowed down before him. He did something that we don't know that the others did. We don't know if they ever came and they worshiped before the physical priest there that was in existence in Jerusalem or not. But we know that this man did. He came to Jesus. Even before he was cleansed, he already believed in his heart. You know what? Even before we see Jesus Christ personally, you can already know that you've been cleansed. You can know right now that you have been saved, that you are right with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not something that is a hard thing to find out. It's something that comes through calling on the name of the Lord, even as this man did. He bowed down before him and he worshiped him. And this fact of his worship and his bowing down before Jesus, Jesus recognized that there was great faith here. There was also thankfulness here. You know, I remember right here in this church many, many years ago, we used to have some catechism classes. And we would study the famous Heidelberg Catechism. And I appreciate that catechism. I tell people I almost accept every bit of it now. You know, I'm getting better, folks. Almost everything, but not. It's still very good, and I like it. I read it occasionally, too. But you know what's so neat about that catechism? When it talks about our sin, what is that? It's the smallest part in the whole catechism. Because God doesn't want us to dwell on our sin. He tells us about our sin, about our need of a Savior, but he never just stops at our sin. The next thing is he tells us all about how we can be saved and all about the work of Christ and how he came into the world and brought salvation to us. But then in the final portion of that catechism, what do we find? As you know, it's the part that deals with Christian service, the service that we offer to God out of thankfulness. Guilt, yes. Grace, yes. But gratitude also. We all need gratitude. I'm so glad that when Ursinus and Olivianus, the two people that instrumented the Heidelberg Catechism, they had the good sense to put down the largest portion in what? In the grace, or not the grace area, rather, but in the gratitude area. Grace is big. It's much bigger than guilt. You know, God's grace is a lot greater than all of our sins, too. But when it comes to gratitude, that's what the Christian life is really all about. That's why we're living here in this world, to do what? To satisfy ourselves? No, to satisfy him. And you know what? He says that if we do that, if we keep his commandments, if we follow his word, if we seek to obey him and to live before him and to thank him and honor him, the Bible says then when that happens, because we are saved by him also, there is in heaven a great reward. Not a little bitty reward. A great reward. John says, I'm praying, my hearers, as I write my epistle to you in the New Testament there, I'm praying that all of you will have a full reward. That's what I want for all of you too. I'd love to have it if all of you not only are saved, but every one of you has a full and complete reward that you can be with the Lord and say, wow, what was I thinking when I was down here on earth? It does not begin to compare with what I have right now. This is incredible. And it is. That's why the Bible says, seek the Lord now while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way. Let the unrighteous man forget all of his evil thoughts. Let him turn into the Lord, and you'll find that he is a mighty Savior who can save to the uttermost. And not only that, but he can give you a reason for living as well, a reason of thankfulness, gratitude. I hope all of you had a great Thanksgiving this year. I don't know where you went or what you did or who you were with. I hope it was a great time. I know we did, and I trust that all of you did too. I haven't heard anybody yet who told me that, no, Thanksgiving was really a bummer this year. No, I've heard a lot of people say, man, it was a good time. That's great. God's got something a lot better in mind, though. A lot better. Far greater. Same thing this man found. You say, wait a minute, now wasn't he a Samaritan? Yes. Well, they weren't some of the covenant people of the Old Testament, were they? No. They were part Jews, but they were still people that were separated from the nation of Israel very much. The Jews hated them. They didn't want anything to do with them. And yet, Jesus Christ, in his compassion and concern, did what? He not only brought healing to the others, but he also brought spiritual healing to this Samaritan as well. And you know what? I'm so glad today to tell you that all around the world, God's doing the same thing. He's way past one single Samaritan. He's now bringing to salvation people all over the world. Do you know God is bringing a lot of the people in this world who are Muslims to salvation in Jesus Christ? It shocks us because we think, man, they're the enemy. Well, sometimes it looks like it, doesn't it? But you know what? The Bible says, too, call upon the Lord. Anybody who calls on the name of the Lord, what will they do? They will be saved. That's a promise. That's a guarantee. Nobody has to be here this morning and wonder, boy, you know, if I were to, you know, lose my life very soon now, what would happen to me? You can already know. It's already right here. This man just came and bowed down before Jesus on one occasion, expressed his faith, expressed his thankfulness, recognized that Jesus Christ was the only one who could heal him and cleanse him. And what happened? Jesus cleansed him, and today he was with Jesus Christ, just like the thief on the cross. How in the world does a man who's a thief all of his life, and he's sitting right there on the cross making fun of Jesus, and then all of a sudden the Spirit of God somehow brings light into his life, and he's able to see that he needs this very man that he's been mocking. And he cried out and he said, Lord Jesus, remember me. What did Jesus say? Did he say, I'm sorry? It's too late, man. You've been gone way too far. You've been too far away from me. It's too late. Now you want to be saved on your deathbed here. Oh, it's not going to happen. You know, there's only one person like this that I know of. I could be wrong, but I think there's only one person in the whole Bible that was ever saved on their deathbed like this, like the thief on the cross. But you know what? He was saved. How could that be? In one moment, one act of faith, one trusting in Jesus Christ, one calling upon him, one wanting to enter into the kingdom. Jesus said, today, you might have a miserable situation now, my friend, but you're going to have a great one soon because you're going to be in the kingdom of God. And you know what? That's our desire as a church here all the time. We want people to be in the kingdom, not just anything that God has in store for us down here in this earthly existence. We want the full eternal kingdom that will last forever and ever and ever. You say, well, you know, I've been a failure. I know everybody sins. Everybody fails God. But you know what? What happened? Did Peter ever fail God? Sure he did. We looked at some times in the scripture where he did, but you know what happened? Peter not only makes it into heaven, but the Bible says that his name is written on one of the walls in heaven. Can you believe that? How in the world could God do that? Take a guy who actually denied the very claims of Jesus Christ in his moments before the cross there, and what happened? Jesus would later one day bring him home to glory and take him and have his very name written there. But you know what? Whether your name's written on the wall or not, that's the important thing. The important thing is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's what really matters. It's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, it doesn't matter. Because you know what? If it's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're excluded. I'm sorry. I wish that I could tell people that it wasn't so, but you know what? The Bible tells me that it is so. And I don't care what other people think or what other people preach or what other people say in their religions or whatever. We are not going to challenge the Bible in its authority. We believe it. I believe it from beginning to end. And as long as the good Lord gives me an opportunity to preach, and he has, as long as I've had that opportunity, I'm going to keep preaching that same gospel. Why is that? There's only one way. Somebody reminded me the other day about the old little slogan that an old friend of ours, Mr. Jim Vanderhorst, used to write on his materials there at the Chicken Coop restaurant. Seeing we're talking about restaurants today, we'll talk about another one. But he used to write on there all the time these words, only one life, 'twill soon be passed, but only what's done for Christ will last. And you know something? He believed that. You say, how do you know? Well, I'll tell you, he was my son's Sunday school teacher. We, for a time, after we were at Reformed Baptist Church there, we attended Grace Baptist Church for a little while there before we went on to, into other kinds of ministry and things. But you know what happened? Jim Vanderhorst was the Sunday school teacher of the class that little Daniel was involved with, or excuse me, Tim. I got to remember my kids now here. I know who's a kid and who's a grandkid, but it was Tim that was in his class. And you know what? He gave Tim and the kids in the class a Bible. And not only a Bible, but he challenged them to learn how to read it and study it every day. Does that work? Sure does. They still read the Bible to this day yet. Why is that? Because when things are done repetitively, like we said, repetition is the mother of learning. And that's how he learned to know the Bible. And that's why it's so important to them, because the more they read, the more they understand. And it's the same with you and the same way with me. But we need to take it. We need to believe it. And we need to thank God for it. Every year at Thanksgiving time, we have one little custom. We just have a little time when everybody can say what they're thankful for. And we get requests there that are, you know, they talk about family and jobs and all kinds of things that are very important. But you know what? The most important thing, and you know, the ones who mentioned this the most were the young kids in the family. They said, I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful that he is our Savior and came into the world. I'm thankful that they know. Little children are just little children, but they can know. They can start learning very easily, very early in their life. Make sure you're like one of them. You say, well, I haven't done it yet. Well, never a better time. Day of the grace is still with us yet. The day to serve the Lord and offer him a life of thankfulness is still there yet. Take it. You know, there is a song that my wife mentioned this morning here that says something like this. It says, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given us Jesus Christ, his Son. I hope that that's what your Thanksgiving is really all about, because if God has given you Jesus Christ as his Son, as your Savior, and he is in your life, you have the best reason for Thanksgiving that anybody could ever have. Let's pray to God now. Father, we thank you because you are a God that is worthy of our thanks and our praise and our faith and trust in you. Lord, we know that you are the only one who can make these things possible. And yet we know that you have brought these things and you have shown it again and again and again by the way that you acted even while you were here on earth. Nobody could do the things that you did or bring the healing that you did. Or not only the physical healing, but could bring people to salvation too. You're the only one, Lord, who could take people that are far away from God and give them a brand new life and turn it around. And Lord, we don't know how it happens. We don't know how it works in your plan. That is very much your business. But we know that through the Holy Spirit of God, you make these things known to us. And we know even this morning, we can still have that wonderful hope. I just pray that everybody here today will not only have had a good Thanksgiving, but that they'll keep on having it because they're living for Jesus and they're walking with him and they have gratitude and thanksgiving in their heart every day of their earthly life. We pray these things now and we ask them in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.